Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Pick and Pop podcast. As always, I'm your host, Luke Sicari, and joining me on the line from the pickandroll.com.au is Damian Arsanis. Damo, how are you?
Very, very good, and what a great week it's been for Australian basketball. It's not often we take home gold in something,
no,
but we have some golden girls this week.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You're alluding to the emerging Opals, secured gold at the World Uni Games, victory over Japan in the final. They ended up winning 85-78, but they did hold bigger leads than that throughout the game. Japan made a bit of a late charge. So talk us through the game, Damo. How did the Aussie girls get it done? Because it's an unbelievable achievement.
Well, it was a brilliant game at the end of the day. Yes, Australia had a good lead early. Through some outstanding play, and the quality of basketball was sensational that these girls played, not just in this game, but all week. In the semi-final, they took on the host, Chinese Taipei, in the semi-final, and the crowd was 18,000 strong.
That's a really good crowd.
And it wasn't just a crowd sitting there politely clapping either. They were raucous. They were getting behind the home side. And to me, that was actually the game of the tournament. That was just simply sensational basketball. But nonetheless, Australia did get the job done over Japan. Japan came home very strongly. And in fact, if the game had gone in overtime or something, the way Japan were playing at the end, they could have well caused a bit of a boil over and won it. But as it stands, Australia well-deserving, going through the whole tournament basically in dominant fashion. Yep. And it was
just the one loss. Just the one loss to Russia in the group stages?
Yes.
Yep, the last group stage.
That's why I sort of bit my tongue a little bit, because it was like, I want to forget about that game.
But we'll say they're undefeated.
But really, the star of the show for the Aussies was Townsville 5-forward Darcy Garbin. She was unstoppable all tournament. In the final, a 30-point, 10-rebound double-double, throw in 6 assists for good measure. She was just outstanding and formed a great duo with Lauren Scherf, of course, with greater size than the Japanese. They combined so well. Those two were walking double-doubles throughout the whole tournament. But the likes of Christy Wallace was outstanding. Abby Waring as well, she was outstanding. And Alex Wilson was the other one. So those five were really the core group, as Coach Chris Lucas ran 7 the majority of the time. And look, it was just deserving. A great win nonetheless. And, while the women were outstanding coming away with gold, unfortunately the men managed to finish only 9th.
Yeah, they did. Before we touch on the men, I just wanted to quickly, one more point on the emerging Opals. I just want to quickly throw this to you, Damo, as someone who followed the tournament really closely. To maybe the casual fan, they'll look at the emerging Opals results from the game and they'll just have a look at the quarterfinals. They'll see Australia defeated the USA. Now, not often we defeat the USA in basketball. They beat them by 7 points. So maybe just what happened there? Because I know to some people, they might look at that and think, wow, that's potentially a massive upset. Was it as big of an upset as a normal Australia defeat the USA game would be in basketball?
Well, look, any time you beat the US in basketball, it's a great thing. But ultimately, in this tournament, the American teams are actually college teams.
Right.
Now, in this case, it was Maryland that was the women's team for the US. And in the men's side, it was Purdue. Yep. Now, in this case, there's an argument for and against. Now, with the limited preparation and the timing of the year, and, of course, a lot of people have said, you know, the men's team in particular, the women's team as well, missing key players that maybe could have been included, but when it comes down to it, they've got to be available. And the timing for this tournament is actually quite terrible for basketball, with preparations and studies. And remember, these are uni students as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And at the end of the day, it's terrible timing. So, for example, the men didn't have Jock Landau, arguably the best college athlete we currently have at the moment, or the best performed college athlete we had. And there's a host of others like Deng Adele. And the women were no different. But Maryland, they're a team. They've played together before. This is one of the reasons why America went down this path, because with limited preparation, they were trying to assemble great teams, but without a preparation, they weren't succeeding. So they went down and chose the college team to represent your country. Yes, it's not a UConn. Many would say that UConn probably would have smashed everyone, but at least they're a team that knows each other. They come in playing as a team, but to their credit, the emerging Opals, they did have a preparation. They played in the Four Nations, and they lost to the US in that tournament. And again, as you mentioned, they lost to Russia, but did they bounce back well after losing to Russia, beating the US, and then going undefeated the rest of the tournament en route to their gold medal.
There's no doubt, massive achievement for Australian basketball. And now we will go speak about the emerging Boomers. Now, as you mentioned, they finished ninth, which probably isn't, some people might be a bit surprised when they see that, considering how strong Australian basketball has been lately. Now, they did finish 10th in the same tournament in 2013, so it is a move in the positive direction in that regard. Finished ninth, they outgunned Canada 98-95 in a very entertaining, offensive-oriented, high-scoring affair in that playoff there for the ninth spot. So, Damo, I guess the question I'd have to you, and I guess maybe a question that maybe the wider basketball public would have that didn't really follow the tournament too closely, is ninth position, is it a disappointment? Is it what was expected? Just in terms of, and in the respect of how well a whole heap of other Australian national squads have been over the last few months?
Yeah, look, it's a good question. I think this team has finished somewhere about where they should have been.
Yeah.
But if you look at who they lost to, they opened the so they arrived in the country 4 days out before the tournament.
So basically no prep time.
The team had not got together before they arrived in the country. Yeah. They did play three lead-up games, but of course with very little practice, very little training. They lost to the Ukraine by four in their opening game. They bounced back to beat Lithuania 84-82. Now, I'll come back to that one in a second.
Yep.
They lost to Israel, who were a very good team as well. They lost to Russia. We defeated Russia.
Yep.
Who are traditionally quite strong. We thrashed Mozambique, which you would have expected. We then thrashed Estonia. Well, I shouldn't say thrashed, but it was a comfortable win against Estonia in their first class.
Scored 105 points in that game, the emerging
exactly.
Boomers. Yep.
Did give up 93, but it was a cruising victory. We then thrashed Mexico to get into the game to play off the ninth. And we defeated Canada. And again, a lot of people go, wow, we beat Canada. But Canada finished 10th. We beat Canada. But I'll come back to the Lithuanian game. We beat the team that won the gold medal by 2 points in our second game of the tournament.
So it shows there
how close and how competitive this team was. And it was just a couple of, really, probably the opening game was the one that killed them, going down to Ukraine. And yes, they lost to Israel, but from there, they didn't lose another game. They won five games straight to finish the tournament in ninth. So some of these tournaments, if you don't have the preparation, you start slowly, you're done with before you even get started.
Yeah.
And in this case, we beat the gold medal team. That was their only loss for the tournament, and we were the only team to beat them.
Yeah, so you can draw the positives there. And it also shows as well that you can have a lot of individual talent, which there was on this team, but if you don't have the time to gain some continuity and some understanding of how each other plays, it's difficult. You can't just throw a team of good players together and expect to get a really good result. But some of the individuals that did perform for the Boomers, guys like Vasicevic and Cooks and
Vasiljevic.
Excuse me, I apologise for that. I'm not good with names, as we discussed off air prior to the podcast. Talk us through some of the some of the best individual performances from the emerging Boomers, Damo.
Certainly, the stars of the show for the emerging Boomers, in my mind, were no doubt Dejan Vasiljevic and Xavier Cooks. Vasiljevic is going to go back to Miami, primed to have a massive season in his second year there. Xavier Cooks, as we know, has been absolutely outstanding for Winthrop. Those two really led the way. But for me, the emergence of Gorgeous Gack, he was simply sensational. Really filled a void. We didn't have a true centre in this team, but really played big. He's a big boy, and he's going to have a big, big season at Florida this year. And again, he had to really sit out a lot of last season, came in late and just sat on the end of the bench. And Jack McVeigh really came on later in the tournament. But some of the NBL guys, Kyle Adam, he was very, very good throughout the tournament as well. Craig Mollard played throughout the tournament, but really he was playing behind the other big guys in this team. And there's some really good talent. They did really well, and they were just one or two wins away from making the quarterfinals. And from there, who knows where they could have been.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, you give them an extra 2 weeks of time to prepare and get ready for the tournament. Well, they might have been sharing a medal with their emerging Opals. So, I mean, who knows? I mean, we'll look back on it.
When you go back 6 years, we won silver in the men.
Yeah.
And really, it was a turn the tables. I think the women were out of the medals back then. And And that team, for example, was led by the likes of Cameron Bairstow, who went on to have a brilliant season at New Mexico and then get drafted to the NBA. So it's shown that this can be a really good springboard and a platform to a great college season, or in this case, an NBL season for some of these guys, and move on to bigger and better things.
Yeah, there's no doubt, Damo. And there's some of the Australian women that are succeeding in the lower levels and the men, as we mentioned. But let's go to the pro ranks. We've looked at the uni games. Let's go to the pro ranks. WNBA. Now, we haven't spoken a lot about the Aussies in the WNBA this year, just because there hasn't been a lot of really, really big Australian names in the league. I mean, let's be honest. And a lot of them aren't getting a lot of opportunity. But this past week and a half, 2 weeks, we've seen like Sammy Whitcomb, of course, a big name for anyone who followed the WNBL last year. She was unbelievable with Perth. She scored 10 points, had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal as her Seattle team. They made easy work of Chicago. They had a massive win. It was around the 40-point mark earlier last week. Girls like Leani Mitchell and Carla George are playing well. They've had some nice individual performances in the last week or so. I mean, there's a write-up for all of these on thepickandroll.com.au. But since that's been posted, Damo, there's been a few more. So we're starting to see some of these girls really, really come of age lately.
Yeah, look, just after that report went this week, the New York Liberty absolutely smashed the Sky. And it was great to see Rebecca Allen get an opportunity coming off the bench. She went 4-9 from the field in her 22 minutes and had 9 points and 3 steals in a great performance. So hopefully that leads to some more court time. And there's another one in that team that played in the WNBL last season as well, Raincock Ekunwe. And she had a pretty good game in that game too after a quiet season, 7 points and 3 rebounds and 2 steals herself. So it was a good one there for showcasing the quality of the WNBL. And then in the other one, we had a game where there was Aussies on both sides of the fence. We had the Phoenix Mercury taking on the Seattle Storm. The Mercury came away with a 4-point win. Now, for the Mercury, there's 3 Aussies, as we've touched on. Kayla George, Steph Talbot came off the bench and were relatively quiet. But Leilani Mitchell, she was brilliant. 3 of 4 from downtown, 11 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists and 2 steals, and a great starting performance in that contest. Well, for the Storm, Sammy Whitcomb only had 3 minutes off the bench in that game. So, yeah, no, it's good to see they're coming up. But you're right, it's a season where we haven't seen a lot of our big stars playing. Your Jenner O'Hayes, Liz Cambars still hasn't gone back to the WNBA yet. Although, as we've said before, there's talk that she may be headed back there to next season.
Yeah, no doubt. And before we finish off, Damo, we'll quickly mention there was a really historic, if you like. We can use the word historic because it was the first time ever. Yeah, a historic signing in the NBL this week.
Yeah, and what's his name?
I'll leave that to you. you are the that's with no disrespect, but I'm not good at pronouncing names, as you heard earlier in the podcast. So I'll leave that to you, Damo. You've got well, there you go. Say it again for those who missed it. Say it again.
7-foot Indian giant. Yeah. Amritau Singh.
Beautiful.
7-foot Indian giant has been signed by the Sydney Kings. And, of course, this guy, he's the first player from India. He's from a small town in the state of Punjab in northern India. He hadn't picked up a basketball until he turned 19.
Yeah.
So he's the first Indian in the NBL. He was part of the NBL draft combine. Which was one of those initiatives by the NBL. It follows what Andrew Gaze has done with Sydney in the past, because, of course, last season he had a Chinese player in Bo Lu.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it's the Sydney Kings just making waves internationally, aren't they? It gets those international eyeballs, on the NBL. Now, speaking of eyeballs on the NBL, it does start again next week, but a lot of people might not really know about it.
Yeah, well, we were just talking about that before. When does it start? We realised it's next week.
Thursday week, the 7th.
The Blitz, of course.
Yeah, pre-season, Blitz. Yep.
Yeah, the pre-season competition starts next week. Now, maybe it's because there's been a few other things going on in the NBL and the World Uni Games, and, of course, there's NBL players in that. But certainly it seems to have sort of slipped everyone's radar, and it's back up next week. Of course, it's in the Latrobe Valley, with a couple of other games at other venues as well in between. But certainly, unfortunately, like previous years, fans won't get a chance to watch any of this. So they're certainly promoting that they'll provide lots of updates, probably have snippets on social media of some video. But at the end of the day, no fans will be able to watch any preseason games in the Blitz.
Yeah, which is it's unfortunate because we don't get to see the talent that's floating around in the league. But like you said, we'll have the updates on the social media, but it's nothing like watching the actual games. But
we've become accustomed to.
Yeah, exactly.
We've had that.
Yeah.
We've had that. And we've had it online. They've done a pretty good job of getting it out there and growing that. And it just feels like out of all the advancements the NBL's done and the great work that they've done, that this is sort of a, you know, we've taken three steps forward, now we're taking a step back.
Yeah, and whether it's...
But having said that, it's great for the Latrobe Valley.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And it could be due to, like you said, it's in the Latrobe Valley, so a bit of a remote location, so maybe that's an issue, but who knows. But
it's next week.
It's next week.
We'll be back next week.
Next week starts again, and we will be back next week as well on the Pick and Pop podcast in the meantime.
And before we go...
Yes?
If you want to ask us a question,
yes,
or you want to put to us...
A guest.
Maybe a special guest that you want us to arrange for one of our nice little special editions going.
Yeah.
Please respond to, once we post this up, once you listen to it, shoot us a tweet, send us a DM via Facebook or Twitter, or to us directly, and we'll certainly see what we can do to accommodate it.
No doubt. We'll be on the hunt. We'll do some digging and see what, whether it be a player, a coach, or a respected journalist, whoever it is.
Ask Luke. Ask Damo. I don't know. We're going to get a hashtag.
Yeah, well, keep an eye out on social media. Pick and roll AU and all the social media channels that you're used to and you use every single minute. So you can have a look at that and we'll be all over it.
Sounds good.
Perfect. And until next week, you'll catch us again on the Pick and Pop podcast. Thank you, Damo.
Yep, and make sure you ask us.